What's up, guys? Welcome to E-commerce Paradise. My name is Trevor Fenner, and I want to talk to you today about bookkeeping, profit reporting, and accounting for high-ticket dropshipping. If it's your first time listening to a video or podcast of mine, definitely subscribe and get my free niches list at ecommerceparadise.com/niches. These are a list of high-ticket products you can sell online and make quite a bit of money with them. So don't miss out. All right, guys, so check it out. So bookkeeping is really important with high-ticket dropshipping. You got to keep track of this stuff because it's high-ticket sales. So every single sale can make a big difference to your accounts. I want to talk a few different things here. First of all is profit and loss reporting. The other thing is cash flow reporting and your balance sheet. Those are kind of the three main things when it comes to accounting, and you got to keep track of that stuff. So what I recommend doing in the beginning, if you are bootstrapping your business, is using a spreadsheet to keep track of all your accounting stuff. It's really easy to come up with a spreadsheet for profit and loss reporting. Profit and loss is just basically how much you made on an order or how much you lost on an order, and then totaling up all your orders every single month and adding all your expenses in, as well as anything else that you can think of that went towards your business. And you can even put your personal expenses into a spreadsheet as well, keep track of that stuff in a budget. And I would recommend that you do this every single day, because doing it every single day will really help you to keep track of this stuff. But basically, the way I have my spreadsheet laid out is it's a series of tabs. There's a summary tab, and then there's a tab for each month, and then there's a tab for each other sales channel. So the tab for each month is usually for Shopify, and then I have other sales channels like eBay, House, Walmart, eCreator, Amazon, and each one of those has its own separate tab. Those separate tabs, since they don't get as many orders as Shopify does, they don't need separate month tabs for those. I just basically add the orders in, and then total up, and then create a line. And then in the summary tab, you can just easily add up sales together from other tabs into the summary tab. Really basic bookkeeping stuff. To do a formula in Excel, you just hit equals and then parentheses, equals, and then within the two kind of like round lines. Oh my God, I forget what it's called, but it's kind of funny. So equals that, and then the sum of that will give you the sum between multiple cells. So equals sum of, I think it's parentheses, and then whatever goes in inside of that, you just click on the cell itself, it will formulate that, or you can just type in the letter and the number. So I would recommend doing that. Get a spreadsheet going. If you want a spreadsheet template, you can get it inside my High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass. And you can check that out at ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass. So it's really important to keep track of this stuff, because some of the pitfalls with high ticket dropshipping are that you'll get a few sales, maybe even a bunch of sales. But then what's going to happen after that is that your bank account is going to kind of balloon a bit, and your credit cards as well. So cash flow is really important to keep track of. You got to understand that the sale you get isn't exactly going to match your accounts all the time, and there's going to be kind of a lag. And that's because of the fact that you don't have inventory, and you have to buy the inventory when you make a sale. So what happens is that you get a sale. The merchant processor authorizes the credit card first, and then what you do is you go to the supplier, you make sure it's in stock, you get a quote, you make sure it's profitable and all that stuff after shipping costs and whatnot. And if it is, then you send them a purchase order. And purchase order just says, okay, ship the order to our customer. This is the SKU number, any other pertinent information. These are all the items. And then charge this credit card. And if the supplier accepts credit cards, hopefully they do. Otherwise, you'll have to use a bank account or something like that, ACH or wire. But I try to only work with suppliers that accept business credit cards so that I can get the rewards. And I would recommend you do as well. Your card will get charged. And then once they confirm that the product's in stock and your card will get charged at that point, then you can go ahead and capture the credit card. And the reason why you don't want to just auto capture orders as soon as they come in is because you no longer will get refunded the merchant processing fee by the merchant processor. That used to happen back in the day. As of a few years ago, they stopped doing that. almost all the merchant processors now do not refund the fees. So if you just capture payments automatically, then you will end up having to refund some orders due to out of stock and whatnot, cancellations, and then you will miss out on, you will just basically lose 3% on every single order that you have to cancel, and that can add up a lot with high ticket, because 3% off a $1,000 order, which is usually the average order value, $1,500 or so, that can add up pretty fast. It can be like $50 a piece per order. So I would recommend doing it this way. Capture the payment after it's confirmed that it's in stock and will ship out. The other option you have is if it's not in stock, but the customer is willing to wait for it, and that's then called a back order. And some suppliers even have, you know, minimum lead times, basically like made to order type stuff where they have to like assemble it or something, and then it takes them a week or two, or even up to like 30, 60, 90 days. I've seen suppliers that are up to like 90 to 120 days to ship out products. I have no idea why, but maybe it's just because they have like a just-in-time fulfillment process where they have like parts and they order it from China or something when they get an order, and then they build it or something. It's probably something like that. So yeah, make sure that you have that stuff clearly stated on your website and the customer agrees to your terms and conditions. And you need to have a cancellation policy that covers you for that merchant fee if the customer decides to cancel. Unfortunately, what customers will do nowadays is they know that they can file a dispute on their credit card, and if the product has not shipped, that the credit card will approve the dispute. So smart customers will still just not even contact you to cancel. They'll just file a dispute on the credit card if they know you have a cancellation policy like that. Unfortunately, that does happen, and it is what it is. You just have to kind of deal with it, because, you know, if they win that dispute, and they probably will, then you're going to be out everything plus $15, and you'll hit a negative mark on your merchant processor account. And you really want to avoid getting too many chargebacks, because once your chargebacks get up to about a 2% level of your total sales volume, they start looking at your account, and they might start putting holds on your account, things like that. So you really want to avoid that if possible. Definitely try to manage your cash flow as much as you can. I got into an issue during the pandemic when I was getting tons and tons and tons of sales because of the pandemic, and people were just spending like crazy, where I would have like consumer fraud issues and a lot of like cancellations due to out of stock, and you know, there was a lot of strange issues, and I wound up with cash flow problems where my credit cards would balloon like crazy, and then my, you know, checking account would take a while to get, you know, back there. So it's just kind of a process of like your credit cards will get stacked up with high amounts, and then you'll get those deposits 2 to 3 days later into your checking account once you capture those payments. And you have to manage those credit cards and stuff and pay off and keep track of every single one. And you really should also make sure that your credit cards are getting charged the correct amount by the supplier. If you don't pay the supplier directly for the orders that you accept, sometimes they will charge your card for the order. You know, it's possible that sometimes they might double charge your card, or they might charge you for a different dealer's order or something like that. Weird things have happened like that for me. So I would recommend starting a Mint account. Mint seems to be the easiest way to keep track of this kind of stuff. QuickBooks has some issues with certain card providers, so I don't use QuickBooks anymore. QuickBooks Online. Mint works pretty good with everything. Ironically, they're owned by the same company, but I've had more issues with QuickBooks than I've had with Mint, so I just use Mint. Basically, with Mint, you can download all of your transactions into a spreadsheet, and then you can just go through each one and make sure that they line up with the purchase order amount. And sometimes the supplier's name will be different on the credit card transaction than they are, like, you know, has the brand name, and that's pretty common, so you just have to line those up. And sometimes the amount that they charge will be like split between two different charges, like one for the product, one for shipping, for instance. That's pretty common. So in your bookkeeping spreadsheet, you've got to put all the numbers into there that you get, and you've got to just go through a process every day of like checking, you know, the sale amount, the deposit amount lines up properly, the cost of goods sold on the invoice you got from the supplier matches with the credit card charge, and you know, once everything is good and it goes through, I would recommend just paying the card off for each specific order. But at high volumes, that's not very practical, especially if you're doing it as the owner and you're working on, you know, other things. So I would recommend either, you know, doing it in bulk or hiring a VA to then do kind of your internal accounting for you, or just having your kind of like main order processing manager VA do that for you. That's also a decent option. Usually what I do is like they do it like once a week or something. Like on Saturdays, they'll work for like 3 or 4 hours and let's go through and check all the transactions. And then you just notify me everything's okay. And then I'll just pay the cards off in bulk that way. There is a bit of trust involved. And so it's kind of up to you whether or not you want to like go through and be like a secondary filter to that. But that's just kind of the way it goes. So yeah, one of the biggest pitfalls entrepreneurs fall into with high ticket dropshipping is just thinking that they have a ton of money when they don't. So, you know, profits are actually pretty low. Usually the margins, like gross margins, usually 20 to 30%, sometimes as low as like 10 to 15%. You know, net margins can be as low as like 5 to 15% sometimes. So, you know, after everything's said and done, you might not even be making that much money that you think you're making. So that's why it's important to keep a spreadsheet and it's important to check those credit card transactions. And if you run into a situation with cash flow problems, you're either going to need to get more credit cards or just new sources of funding to cover, you know, temporary cash flow problems. Usually one of the things that happens that's pretty common is you accept a bunch of back orders. So you hit a huge deposit into your checking account. So, you know, it looks like you have a lot of cash all of a sudden, you know, and then those back orders ship out like a month later or something like that, or 2 months later. And all of a sudden your credit card gets racked up like crazy. And all of a sudden all that money disappears that you thought you had. It's like, so that's why you need to use a spreadsheet, because then you'll know exactly how much you're making and, or, you know, not making or losing every month. Cause if you are losing money every month, it's not very sustainable. And so, you know, you're going to need new sources of funding, and that can come in the form of private investors, or that can come in the form of credit cards with like lower APR, you know, via like credit transfers and stuff like that. Or you can just get like lines of credit from the banks and stuff like that. But you're going to need sources of funding if it's going to take you a lot longer to become profitable. So definitely look into that. High ticket dropshipping is just like any other retail business. You really do need sources of funding and credit lines and stuff like that available to you. Yeah, because, you know, let's just say you have a bunch of credit cards and no credit lines and no other sources of funding. All that debt is going to pile up and it's going to show up on your credit report eventually, and your credit score will go low, and that will make it harder to get new credit cards. So I would recommend in the beginning, before you have a bunch of debt stacked up on your credit cards, get some sort of line of credit as a backup from your bank. Usually they're going to charge you when you use that. So it's kind of the opposite of credit card. When you use a credit card, they give you points. But when you use a line of credit with a bank, you don't really get points for it. You have to pay for that, which is pretty understandable. It's like holding a balance on a credit card for more than 30 days. They're going to charge you for that. But having that as a backup is a really good idea if you have cash flow problems. Or you can just get more credit cards. You can sign up usually for credit cards once every few months. And, you know, one or two credit cards is pretty common every few months. You know, after a year or two of doing that, you might want to take a year or two off. But it's a really good idea to get as many business cards as you can. They get the highest rewards. And Amex has some great, you know, backup credit cards. You can have like the Plum card, a 1.5% cash back, unlimited credit line credit card. Capital One Spark Cash, they now have as a version of that where it's like an unlimited credit line. Chase has kind of a version of that with their Inc. Premier card. It's a flexible spending limit. So yeah, I would definitely recommend getting those types of cards, because if you're going to be scaling, you really need to have the funding to back you in one way or another. So yeah, keeping track of your profit and loss is important. Keeping track of your cash flow is important. Your balance sheet is really just like where you are at any given day with your business. So it's really important for you to kind of keep track of that on a daily basis, or at a minimum on a monthly basis, to kind of see where you're at. I just keep my, you know, profit and loss statement with my summary tab is kind of like my balance sheet. I can kind of look at that any particular day and see how much money I've made that particular month, or how much money I've lost, you know, that kind of stuff. And if you have multiple businesses in one, then you can kind of expand that summary tab to include more of those businesses. So like if you have multiple stores, or you have like a separate, you know, like digital marketing agency or consulting business or something like that on the side, you can kind of combine them all into one. You do want to keep everything separated, but you can combine them all and sort of like summarize them all up at the bottom. And that's the point. Because if you want to go to sell your store someday, each store you have under an LLC can be considered as a digital asset. So when you go to sell an asset, you can sell it separately from your LLC. And if you keep track of everything separately in your bookkeeping statement, and you have separate checking accounts and everything and separate credit cards, it's going to be really easy for the investor to see that everything lines up properly. Now, if everything is commingled, it makes it very difficult. So it takes longer for the due diligence process for the accountants to do that. And so it's going to be, you know, a bit more of a process, and you're probably going to get a lower multiple as well because it's a bit more risky for them. So it's a little bit harder to do to separate things out, but I would recommend doing it at least to some degree, as much as you possibly can. So yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. It's really important to keep track of this stuff. It's kind of a headache, but it's really good to hire somebody to help you with it. I recommend using Bench for basic accounting needs and filing taxes, because that's what I use. Now you can check them out, ecommerceparadise.com/bench. And if you, you know, I would recommend having whoever does your order processing do kind of like the checking of your transactions as well, using like a Mint account and then a spreadsheet. It's you don't need to be like hiring an internal accountant and all this stuff in the beginning. And they're going to do just a bunch of stuff that you probably don't really need anyways. Bench plus your manager using your spreadsheet to check and verify transactions is probably enough. And then you can just do the work of, you know, utilizing the spreadsheet, making sure things are filled in properly, checking all your expense accounts and how much you're spending here and how much you're spending there. You can just download your statements through Mint and all your transactions, basically, and then just like copy and paste transactions into columns and then add them up at the bottom and add them into expenses that way. That's what I do. Simplifies things, makes it pretty simple. And you really should, like, my best tip for bootstrapping entrepreneurs is to stick to a budget. If you're gonna, you know, try to scale, it's gonna cost you more money. So you need to budget that out. Make sure you don't overspend. And because if you overspend on something that's not gonna bring an ROI, then you're not just not gonna get any money's worth, and that money's gonna go out the window. So if you're gonna burn money on VAs and like outsourcing and stuff like that, just make sure that that's actually going towards something that's gonna eventually provide you some kind of return on investment. You know, and it's easier said than done. It's hard to verify, you know, make sure. But what I would just recommend is, you know, do as much work as you can, especially in the early days. And if you end up finding your business hits a plateau and then kind of starts going down, I would recommend scaling down your costs. So like letting some of your VAs go, that's a pretty important decision to make. You don't have to do it right away, especially if you hired them full-time and trained them. Obviously, all that training that you put into them costs time and money and effort for you, so you don't really want to do that right away. But, you know, if things kind of continue on a downward slope, kind of as they have been going in 2022, 2023 for most e-commerce businesses after the pandemic, then you probably want to scale back on your VA spending, your outsourcing, your scaling efforts, just like reinvestments in general, just so you can save money. And then just kind of do more of the work yourself until things pick up again. You know, I'm guessing things will probably pick back up more in next year because of the way things are going. But you really just have to keep track of what the Fed is doing, the Federal Reserve. If they raise interest rates, it makes it harder for consumers to borrow money and to spend money. So they're going to be spending savings more than they take, you know, money out. And they're going to be putting more on their credit cards, which means, you know, more debt. And, you know, their savings eventually will have to pay off the credit cards every 30 days. So yeah, just keep track of what the Federal Reserve is doing. If they raise interest rates, continue to keep it high and stuff like that, then that means that you're probably going to get less orders in general. When interest rates start to go down again and they start to do more stimulus, then, you know, orders are probably going to start coming in again more. So just if you want to kind of keep track of the future of your store on a macroeconomic level, keep track of what the Federal Reserve is doing. The stock market tends to sort of what happens in the stock market is sort of like what is going to happen in the major economy 6 months ahead of time. So like, for instance, 2022, we saw like a huge dip in the stock market the first half of the year, and things kind of bottom out by the end of the year. And then in 2023 so far, we've seen a huge rise in the stock market, almost back up to pandemic levels. And so you can kind of see like 2023 is like the recession is happening after the stock market dip of 2022. And then 2023, it's going up a lot. So that probably shows that in 2024, sales are going to start going up a lot too. The stimulus is going to happen. You know, investors tend to like get ahead of the curve with stock investing and stuff like that. So just keep that in mind, kind of have an idea of where the macro economy is going, and then you'll be able to sort of like budget out things in the future with your business. So, And I'll make separate videos on how to sell your business. It's a whole different topic. I think it really like deserves its whole separate video. So I'll make those. But yeah, when it comes to selling assets, it's just a determination of what it's worth and what the market is willing to pay for it. So it's always good to look into the market and see what businesses have been selling for that are similar to yours. And, you know, then you get like an accurate idea, and then really just try to break down all the different expenses of your business and see what you really are spending. Cause an investor is probably going to look at your checking account and your statements and your tax returns and all that stuff, for due diligence. So you really want to make sure that, you're not over investing in things like that, or you have a good reason to exclude certain expenses from your, profit and loss statement so you can get a higher multiple. You know, generally speaking, growth expenses can be, taken off your profit and loss statement. And it's really just like expenses that are made for running the business that are counted towards your P&L for when it comes to selling a business, but that's not always true. Some investors are more discerning than others and will, want you to put those back on. So it's what it is, guys. So yeah, be smart, be diligent, and be responsible, and don't spend too much money. One of the biggest things is ads. Ad spending can go like crazy. So you have to keep track of your return on ad spend and make sure that it's in line with the 10 to 20x target for high ticket dropshipping. If you start to fall below that, like 5x, 3x, you're probably just going to be start losing money in general, because you have expenses to pay, you have VAs to pay, and plus your ad spend on top of that. So you got to try to figure out why and just sort of like lower ad spend until things start to pick up again, and then just kind of keep your ad spend in line with your revenue. Don't let it fall like too crazy over that. And yeah, hope this helps, guys. Kind of been rambling for a bit, but probably pretty helpful. And if you guys want more information, just go to ecommerceparadise.com or contact me, Trevor, at ecommerceparadise.com, and check out my masterclass as well. I have lots of cool stuff in there. Thanks for watching, and I'll talk to you in the next video. Take care.